The dean and I are solving the problems of the world in the back room back there. So, Dean Graves, always appreciated their fellowship. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3 tells us something that we kind of left off with here. Philippians 3 here, verse number 20. King James says, "Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." The word conversation in my Bible has a letter K by it, and in the margin it says citizenship. Citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. Well, what he's saying is we're born of that realm. That's our homeland, so to speak. And so it's important that we not consider this realm unreal or, because I said in the last hour, God got us started in getting into the reality of this by giving us a birth in that realm. You know, we were born of the Spirit. Jesus said it that way. You're born of the Spirit, John chapter 3. So, and then he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we got our start of becoming familiar with this realm and acquainted with this realm and this realm becoming a reality by being born of it. I heard a story a number of years ago, a lady who actually is still, her and her husband still on the mission field, but they got married, went on the mission field, and they started having children. And I think they still only have two girls, I believe. But anyway, these two young girls were born on the mission field in other countries. And so they had dual citizenship, however that works. I don't know how that all worked, but they had dual citizenship. They're actually, or maybe they brought them back to be born here, I don't remember. But they lived in the other lands, you know. As soon as they were born, they took them back or whatever. However it worked. But I know they were citizens of the United States. These two missionaries are citizens of the United States, but then also their babies are as well. So they were born as citizens of the United States, but the land of their residency was a different culture, a different, a lot of differences there than here. And so this individual, this missionary that was talking, made the statement. They said, their citizenship is the United States, and that's their homeland. But their land of their residency was what was kind of, not that the parents weren't training them in spiritual things, but natural things. The land of their residency, their little friends in that land and so forth, was trying to train them in that culture. And they said, we wanted them to become as acclimated or more acclimated to the land of their citizenship than the land of their residency. So we would bring them back regularly to grandma and grandpa here, and to the culture here, and to family here, and so forth, so they know, so they keep in touch with who they really are. And that's true about the fact that we are citizens of heaven, we're citizens of the spirit realm, but we're living, though, in this natural realm. We're citizens of the spiritual realm, but the land of our residency here in the physical realm, if we're not careful, we'll become more acclimated to this natural realm than we are of who we really are in the spiritual realm. That's called carnality. You know? Oh, that went over like a lead balloon. Did you feel that? People get caught up with our natural differences or the differences of things that are in the flesh or our minds or backgrounds or social status or whatever. Those are all natural things. Amen. I have a spiritual son. He came from Nigeria, grew up in Nigeria. He came to the United States. God got him connected with me. His background is totally different. His family experience and cultural experience was totally different. God brought us together, and we have a divine connection because of who we are in the spirit. You know, it's unusual sometimes to the natural man how certain people can get along so well. But listen, when you're born of the same spirit and it's all, you're citizens of the same spiritual side, same spirit, praise God. Hallelujah. And so, really, Jesus, and now this sounds kind of funny, people use it in a carnal way, but Jesus, what became aware of his dual life in as a very early age, at 12 years old. When I say dual life, you know, people use that term to mean, you know, well, they act one way with all their friends, but they have a secret life at nighttime, they're doing something, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a dual life. Jesus had a dual life in that he functioned well in the spirit and well in the natural. And he became aware of that at the age of 12, well, probably before that, but we have record of it at the age of 12, that he's, remember in the temple whenever they lost him for a while and then they found him, and he's in the temple conversing with the rabbis, and the rabbis are astounded. I mean, that the questions he was asking and what he understood, and they said, well, why did you leave us, you know, why did you, you know, give us this three days we've been trying to find you, and we've been heartbroken for 3 days. But why'd you do this to us? He said, don't you know I should be about my father's business? He's 12 years old, and he's aware of his spiritual father. He's aware of who he is in the in the spiritual realm, although he's functioning just fine in the natural realm. Hallelujah. Well, I don't hardly like that term dual life because it's used so perverted and so carnal, but you have, in the sense of what I'm talking about, you have a dual life. You are somebody in the spirit. You know, you can be, a person can be a little 5'3", 85-year-old grandma, gray-haired grandma in the natural, and people think, oh, kind of, you know, petite and small and not real strong physically and, you know, whatever they think of that little grandma. But in the spirit, she can be huge. I mean, she prayed all her grandkids out of hell and amen. And so we just got to get past the little natural stuff and amen. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible means when it says, know no man after the flesh. We ought to know each other after the Spirit. Praise God. Praise the Lord. When we know each other after the Spirit, natural things just sort of fall away. They just really don't even matter. Hallelujah. So, but can you see that we're born as born again believers from the spirit realm. Now here's the point. Let's say you were born, because I was born in Pennsylvania, small town, country town, grew up on the farm, and all of that. I'm still kind of a country boy. I mean, don't look like it, but I am. Leave me alone, and I'll find my way to the woods. You know. But anyway. You know, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and whenever I think of home, I think of Pennsylvania, mom and dad's house, you know, the farm where I grew up on, where my brother now is. To me, that's home. I'm talking about in the natural. Well, when we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. You need to realize that the spirit realm is your home. That's where you're from. That's who you are. I am of God. I'm born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's home. That's not a, in other words, home is not a foreign place. Home is, well, home. I mean, it's natural. Brother Hagin made the statement. He prophesied. This was in 1973. I have it recorded here somewhere. I think I can find it real quick. Here it is. He said this. He said, I think it's right here. Maybe it's the next one. Yeah, here it is. 1973, he prophesied. He said, for the unseen realm shall become as real to you as the seen realm. You shall live, operate, and minister in that realm and bring blessings, the blessings of heaven in answer into the lives of people. And then he made this statement. It should be as natural to operate in the supernatural realm as a fish in the water and as a bird in the sky. The supernatural should be natural to every spirit-filled believer. Hallelujah. I like that. It should just be home. It should just be natural. It's normal. I have a friend, a minister friend, my wife and I know, she said when she first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, she was in high school, and her high school friends thought she was nuts. You speak with tongues? And she flipped it around on them. She said, you don't. Because they thought she was strange for speaking in tongues. She said, you don't, you're strange. I love that. I love that. That punchiness. I like that. Amen. And so it should just be, it's just natural. It's just, it's not a foreign thing. It's not like a foreign country. The realm of the Spirit is not a foreign thing like a foreign country. It's your home. It's homey. I mean, the body of Christ ought to be home to us. We ought to be more at home with the people of God than the people of the world. These are our people. Amen. Like when I grew up, I had friends and all the people, the little church friends I had. Those are my homies. You know, they're my buds, and it's just like being home. It's my people. Amen. So when we go to church, it's never something I've understood. When Christians feel more at home around the carnal people and carnal Christians and the world, all that just never made sense to me. That's not my home. You're my people. The body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it ought to be natural, not foreign. It's the realm that we're going to spend eternity in. Amen. That was a good chance to say amen. You're going to heaven, right? Not tomorrow, not today, but someday when you're done down here. And so it's our home. It's not a foreign place. The spirit realm is where you're born from when you're born again. As Jesus said, we're born of the Spirit. And so God is there. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is in that realm. We have communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit in that realm. It's just a homey place. We're in Hebrews, it says the same thing. Let's see here. Hebrews, let's go over there. Let me show you something. This is again in the Amplified Version. Hebrews 12:23. Does anybody have the... I don't have the Amplified Version written down here. Maybe I could read it off somebody's computer. The King James says, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. You know what? I just saw the Amplified written off to the side here. I can't read it. Registered as citizens in heaven. Registered as citizens in heaven. Heaven is the spirit realm. And so we're citizens of the realm of heaven. The realm of God. Hallelujah. You like that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so it's our homeland. All right. Now let's go... Let's go back. We were starting to go through some different scriptures that talks about in the Spirit. And we were in 1 Corinthians 14. Remember it said we pray in the Spirit. Then Galatians, it says we live and walk in the Spirit. We went to Ephesians 6:18. It says we pray in the Spirit, also watch in the Spirit. When we went to Philippians 3:3, it says we worship in the Spirit. And then we went to John 4. Now go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2 is another verse. Really, it's not saying something new that we've not looked at yet, but I just want you to get it in your notes. It says in chapter 2 of Colossians, in verse number 5, though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit. And in the statement that he made, joying and beholding your order, he was seeing some things in the Spirit. Joying and beholding your order. He was seeing things were in order in the church there. Isn't that what he's talking about? And so this brings up something, and we'll talk more about this when we talk about watching in the Spirit. Remember Ephesians said, watching there in the Spirit unto prayer is the kind of the way he's saying it. There are, let me put it this way. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, caught up to the third heaven, you remember, and had received revelation. And then he made this statement, I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body. And he talks about what he saw, what was revealed to him, so forth and so on. Well, that's an interesting thought if you think about it. I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body. If he was out of his body, then he could not have been making use of his physical eyes. His physical eyes wouldn't be functioning. Now, what this is, you know, we are spirit beings, and sometimes God can reveal things to somebody as he chooses by they either fall into a trance or have a vision or something, or their spirit, they just, remember Dr. Dufresne talked about whenever he was caught up to heaven, they pushed the elevator button. Remember this story? And when they pushed the elevator button, it was after a church service. And because the place they were going to go eat after service was up on, the second or third level, whatever it was. And they pushed the usher, whoever pushed the elevator button, they were waiting for the elevator to come. And all of a sudden, he felt himself leaving his body. And he said, I don't know if I can go that far, you remember? Because he realized Jesus has taken him further than he had gone before. I don't know if I can go that far. His body fell over, and there were, I think, an angel or two standing there taking care of his body. And he went to heaven, you remember? He found himself face down on at the throne, I believe it was. Some of you are looking at me like maybe you haven't heard that story. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Dr. Dufresne had that experience. And so what happened was he was taken out of his body, and he talked about what he saw. Dr. Dufresne talked about what he saw. Remember that? He described the pavement that he found himself face down on and how he could see the pavement, and I think he could see some things at the throne. Well, he's not in his body. His eyes can't be seeing this. His physical eyes can't be seeing this. Where is he? He's in the Spirit. This is a different, this is a further dimension of being in the Spirit. Paul had that experience in 1 Corinthians. I keep saying 1 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians 12. He said, I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body. Well, most likely he's actually out of his body. But his physical eyes, if he's out of his body, could not see, because they're back here in the body. They're part of the physical man. Right. He's not in his physical body, like Dr. Dufresne in that vision. So when he said, I saw this, I saw that, and Paul said, I saw this, I saw that, he's not seeing it with the eyes, his physical eyes. Although God could open somebody's physical eyes and do the same thing. But my point is this. You have more than two eyes. Amen. That sounds funny. But Paul said in Ephesians, he prayed that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Some translations say the eyes of your spirit be enlightened. Hallelujah. Your spiritual eyes can see things. Like Paul, that's what Paul's talking about here in chapter number 2 of Colossians, verse number 5. He said, I was in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order. I was in the Spirit, and I could see that everything's in order there. Now, there's different levels of this. I'm kind of laying a foundation for some things we're going to talk about watching in the Spirit. But there's levels on the level of visions, like what we were just describing. But there's also levels of revelation within your spirit. Have you ever, in fact, I've seen a couple of you already do it here. When the word's being taught, have you ever said or thought something, oh, I see that? Yes. Well, what do you mean you saw it? Did the words appear in front of your physical eyes and you saw it? No. You saw it in here. You saw it in here. Because you have spiritual eyes and they can be enlightened to spiritual truth. Hallelujah. All that's in the spirit realm. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the Word of God can be revealed to our spirits, and that's all something that happens in the spirit realm. And you can be sitting in a service, you can be praying or something, and all of a sudden your eyes are enlightened to a spiritual truth or to a part of God's plan for your life, and you see it. When people say, what do you mean you saw it? You don't mean you had a vision. Although God can do that too. But you just saw it on the inside. Hallelujah. And really, what God's plan for believers according to, we already looked there at Ephesians 6:18, and there's going to be other verses we're going to look at. The Bible talks about watching and praying in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, watching in the Spirit unto prayer. In other words, there's things that you and I are to watch over, not just in the flesh. Anybody in here have physical children that you had to watch over whenever they were growing up? If they're not grown up, you're watching over them now, right? Well, you got to do that in the spirit, just like you got to do that in the natural. I know parents in my church, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but I have parents in my church. They watch over them in the natural, but they were not watching over them in the spirit. And right now, they're getting of age, and they're turning against. Because the parents didn't keep some things off of them in the spirit. They weren't paying attention to what the spirit was saying whenever they were going to that little friend's house. Amen. We've got to learn to operate in the spirit realm and watching over things. If you're called to the ministry and you can't even watch over your own life, you can't watch over your own family and keep things off of it, well, what qualifies you to watch over a whole church? We've got to learn to watch in the spirit. We've got to learn to pay attention. And when spiritual things are trying to get into your life, get into your mind, when the devil's working on you, you got to watch. Pay attention. Be alert. And don't just go, well, I hope that goes away. No, you got to answer it, like Pastor Nancy's book. Amen. And we're going to spend a whole, they're going to take a lot of time on that, so we won't get into that as much today. All right. Revelation chapter number 1. There's going to be two of them here in the book of Revelation. Can you start to see maybe a little glimpse of how important this is in life? Of living in the Spirit, watching in the Spirit, doing these things. Hallelujah. So Revelation 1, let's look at verse 10. There's a couple verses here. He said, John, this is John on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. All right, let's go over to chapter 4 in the book of Revelation. Chapter 4 of the book of Revelation and verse number 2. Well, let's just start with verse 1. Revelation 4, verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse 3. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And notice this verse. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, or however you say that. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And he goes on and describes what he saw. Now, this brings us to a second definition of a Bible definition, I guess you could say, of in the Spirit. All right? Notice in this particular instance, in both cases, when he said, I was in the Spirit, first of all, in the first chapter there, and then the second time, he said the same thing. In both cases, when he was in the Spirit, he described something that he saw that was not in the natural. Right? So let's define it this way. In the Spirit, another definition of in the Spirit is you're more conscious of spiritual things at the moment than you are of natural things. So, in the Spirit, another way you could say or define in the Spirit is you're more conscious of spiritual things at the time or at the moment than you are of natural things. Because all of a sudden, chapter 1 and chapter 4, in both times he said, I was in the Spirit, immediately he started describing what he's either seeing or hearing in that realm. Now, there's different levels of this as well. This is actually, in both of these cases, these are actually both visions. But, listen to me very carefully, there are levels of being aware and conscious of the spirit realm, and you don't have to have a vision to be aware and conscious of what's in the spirit realm. You can just be aware of it because you're so full of the Word along that line. You can be more aware that by His stripes you are healed than you are of what you're feeling in your body. more conscious of the truth of God's word than you are what you're physically feeling or experiencing. So let's take the definition even a little bit further then. One of the things it means to be in the spirit is be more conscious of spiritual things at the moment than you are of natural things. And then let's put it this way, I'll also add to that, being more conscious of God and his solution than you and your problem. You're in the spirit when you're more conscious. See, people that are talking all the time about the physical realm, what they see, what they feel, the bank balance or whatever, all the things that they, you know, they're going through in the natural realm, it's because they're more conscious of that than they are of what Jesus did for them in that realm. They're more conscious of it. What do we mean when we say more conscious of it? We're just talking about it's more real to them than spiritual things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we're in the spirit, we're in a particular place where our heart or our spirit is dominating us. Being in the spirit can include you're more aware of the inner witness of the spirit and his direction than you are of why that can't work. He can guide you in a direction of life that if you stop and think about it, there's no way that's going to work. But when you keep on living out of here because you got the witness of the Spirit to do that, you're in the Spirit. And you don't even have your eyes rolled back in your head. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The spirit realm is contacted with our spirit. Remember, Brother Hagin made the statement over and over again. With our bodies, we contact the physical realm. With our minds, we contact the intellectual realm. With our spirits, he actually put the spirit first. With our spirit, we contact the spiritual realm. Amen. We're spirit beings, so we can be aware of spiritual things. God can give a person a vision. They can see Jesus or, you know, angels or something in the spirit realm. But you don't have to have a vision to be aware of sometimes of their activity. I've been aware at times, there's an angel assisting me on this. Look, I mean, I just can sense it. Amen. I didn't have a vision, but these things are real because your spirit is aware of them. And whenever you're living out of your spirit, you're more aware of spiritual things than you are of natural things. It doesn't mean you don't function in the natural realm. Amen? Or function well in the natural realm. You just are, it doesn't control you. It's not what you make your, it's not what makes your decisions for you. It's not what, you don't go up and down emotionally by what happens in this realm. You're living in another realm. You're living conscious of another realm. Hallelujah. One of my favorite passages along this line, if you want to turn there right now, is John's Gospel, the third chapter. John's Gospel is the third chapter is where we're going. And we're going to read let's just start reading from verse 31. John the Baptist is talking about Jesus here. But if you look at the language closely, it could be true about you and me too, because we're born. Let's just read it and you'll see it. Verse number 31, John 3:31. He that comes from above is above all. What do you mean comes from above? You ought to just write right in the margin of that verse right there, me too, Philippians 3:10. Is it 10, I believe? What was the passage where we said our citizenship is from above? Amen. So when it says, he that is from above is above all, you should write in there, me too. It's not verse number 10, it's verse number 20. Philippians 3:20. He that is from above, what's he talking about? He that comes from above. You know, people say, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. If you had further revelation, you would not be a Christian going to heaven, you're a Christian from heaven. Yes. You're from there. That's where you were born from. Amen. Yeah, we're going to heaven too. I understand that. But let's just not put all this off until the future. He that is from above, you could write in there, me too. John is actually talking about Jesus, but this applies to you because you're born from above. He that comes from above is above all. Whoa. He that is of the earth, or comes from the earth, is earthly and speaks of the earth. And he that comes from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. Whoo! Glory to God. I haven't got my shouting clothes on yet today, but I'm about to get them on. Whoa, that verse right there will make you shout. You're born from above like Jesus. The Bible said he brought many sons unto glory, you know. So he that comes from above is above all. So whatever's coming against you, you're above it. That's why the Bible says you're seated with Jesus far above. No, I'm not. Look. Well, you're in the flesh. Get in the spirit. Okay, let me define it this way. The Bible said we're raised up together, Ephesians, remember, 1 and 2, raised up together, made to sit together with him far above. If you put Ephesians 1, 20 and Ephesians 2, what is it, 8, that, together, you know, we're raised up together with Jesus, sitting with him far above. Who is? Who is? Wait, no, you're sitting here. Here's a revelation. Your body wasn't raised up to sit with him. Your mind wasn't raised up to sit with him, but your spirit man was. Your spirit man was. And it's the spirit man seated far above. Listen to me. The spirit man seated far above. It's not your flesh that's seated far above. So if you live in the flesh, Satan will take advantage of that and you'll never whip him. But if you live out of your spirit, all of a sudden, whoop, there you are. There you are. You're far above it. You're far above it. You live out of your mind trying to figure things out, calculate, how could I ever, where's the money coming from? But see, when you stop living out of this and out of the flesh and you start drawing out of your spirit, all of a sudden, whoop, there you go. You're far above it. Far above it. That's what he's telling us. Live that way. Live that way. Live that way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, how do I live that way? He told us right here. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that is from above all. He that comes from above is above all. What he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. Notice the man who's living from above or living out of his spirit, because that's the man born and seated, born from God and seated far above. That man, he talks differently than earthly people talk. He talks above the natural. You see that? Notice that. You see that which he seeth and hears, he testifies. That which he has seen and heard, not in the natural realm. That which he has seen and heard in the spiritual realm. When I heard by his stripes I was healed, I heard something in the spiritual realm. I could look at my body and say it's not so sometimes, but I look in the spiritual realm and I'm hearing in the spiritual realm. What he's saying is, if you want to live far above things, talk above them. Talk the words that the word of God, which is above natural world, the natural world. Talk the word and you'll come up and you'll take advantage of that seat. Hallelujah. That which he hath seen and heard, he testified. Look at the earthly man, though, in verse number 31. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. Natural people talk naturally. People of the spirit, people that walk in the spirit, they talk differently. You're strange to some people whenever you say you're healed. You're strange to some people when you say, I got every need met. Yeah. They look at your they go, what? The word earthly here, I looked this up. I've had so much fun in this verse. The word earthly is from two Greek words. The first one means, the first one means earth, ground, territory, things like that. Country. The second one means origin. In other words, the country that you originated or the country that you came from. Earthly people talk naturally, and they're coming from the earthly standpoint whenever they talk. You know, we just can't do it. We don't have the money. We were born on the wrong side of the tracks. They're just talking about their earthly man, their earthly stuff. That's where they're coming from. They're talking naturally. A man of the Spirit who walks in the Spirit, he starts talking different. He actually learns a new language. Yeah, it's a new language. It's called the language of redemption. It's called the language of faith. It's called the language that it calls things that be not as though they are. Think about that. Calls things that be not as though, things that be not so in the natural realm. It calls them and speaks of them as if they are so. Yes. Why would a person talk like that? Because it's real to them. Yes. To them, that's reality. And what that does is it raises them above the natural. People down in the natural realm are very limited. People that come above it and talk above it, all of a sudden they're in an unlimited realm. Glory! Glory! I'm just about there. Praise God. And so you live out of your spirit. You live out of what you see and you hear in your spirit, man. Because that's the part of you that's in contact with God, and God in that realm and the Holy Spirit in that realm reveals things to your spirit man, and your natural mind will say, that's not so, but you take it and receive it and believe it and say it, and all of a sudden it raises you above the natural. Praise the Lord. Now, the Word of God, the written Word of God, is out of the spirit realm. This is not a natural book. This is not like a history book or something. This is a spirit book out of the spirit realm. God spoke these words. They come from the spirit realm. They're the map of the spirit realm. They tell you what's in the spirit realm. And the more real the word gets, the more real the spirit realm gets. And the better and easier it is for you to walk by faith. Amen. And so to you, it's just natural to talk above natural things. To other people, they hear you talking, they're like, wait, you talk funny. What is this, you are healed? Your tenses are different than my tenses. That's because you're talking realities, spiritual realities. Remember, the Bible says, who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness? He has, by his stripes, you are healed or were healed, actually. The tenses in the Bible are oftentimes different than the tenses that people use all day long. They're wannabes and gonna-bes. We are it. They want to be healed. They're going to be healed. They want to get ahead. They want to be free. We are. We are. We are. We are. We are. And we say we are. And so it raises us up to live in the spirit realm. We are living in a different place than most people live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And these things are very real to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like that, don't you? You're in a place in your heart when you're in the spirit. So to use this definition here, it means to be more conscious of things, spiritual things at the moment than natural things, and being more conscious of God and His solution and what He said about it than your problem and what you can see and feel. Things can seem real but not be reality. Write that down, because that might not hit you today like it will someday. Things can seem real. It can seem so real to you that you are bound. But in reality, he has already delivered you. He has already delivered you. The senses can, and Satan will try to contact you through the senses and talk to you and say, this is so, that's so, this is not so, this is not so. And it can seem so real until you get your Until you get in the book and start reading and meditating in this, and where it says, wait a minute. What I've been thinking and feeling and all that, that's not reality. This is reality. And that's whenever faith is working the best. Was it Kenyon? I'm trying to remember who it was. I believe it was Kenyon. He said, your faith is working best when you're not even conscious of it. When you're struggling to believe something, it's because the reality of what you're trying to believe is not real to you. Amen. It can become real. First time I was healed, that I stood in faith for my healing, I don't remember the year. I'm guessing, I went to Rhema in 1980, went there in 85, graduated in 87. It was a couple years after that. Maybe let's just say 1990-ish or something like that. Debbie and I, my wife, she was in the choir at church Sunday nights. They practiced 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock Sunday night, something like that. And so we had Sunday morning service, and then we came back Sunday night. We only had one vehicle. And so she would have to go to practice, I think, at 5 or 6 or whatever it was. Service, I believe, was at 7. She would practice early before service. And so I was going to come to church later, but we only had one vehicle, so I would have to drive her. And I'd sit in the parking lot and just wait for her while she's practicing. And then I'd come into service about the time it started. I'd sit out in the car. And I at this particular time, I had real bad flu symptoms. I mean, my throat's all tight, scratchy, and my nose is running. I'm carrying hankies, you know. And, you know, your whole head's kind of stopped up, one of those kind. And so I had about an hour or whatever it was, and I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit here, and I'm just going to meditate on healing scriptures. And I got out Isaiah 53 and just meditated on that. And that came off the pages. Those truths came off the pages of the Bible. I mean, I just sat there and just totally focused my attention. Say my attention. My attention. That's a big key to walking in the Spirit. Big key. We'll have to spend some time on that too, hopefully. We're not going to have enough time to get all this out. But anyway, I got my total attention into those words to where they just started coming alive to me. By, you know, himself bore our sins and sicknesses, or how it talks about it there. And it says, surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Surely, and every word was coming alive. Surely, and I thought, you know, surely he knew somebody's going to come along and say, surely not. And so he said, surely I have. Every word just coming alive to me that he did bore, and he bore mine. So that's this one. He bore this. He bore the flu. And I'm just going, every word is coming alive like that. And I'm just engrossed in it. And you lose track of time. You forget you're sitting in a car. You that's in the Spirit. Whenever you're watching the watch in prayer, you're not in the Spirit. Don't mean to be mean, but that's just reality. But I lost track of time. I forgot I was in the car. People, I guess, were walking by into church. I'm just engrossed in the Word of God. You know, whenever John on the Isle of Patmos there, whenever he said, I was in the Spirit, he didn't talk about the rock he was kneeling by, or what the weather was that day, or what time of day it was. All that went out the window. He's not conscious of that anymore. He's conscious of what he's seeing in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. And so that's what was happening to me in the car. I was just so caught up with these truths. They're just coming alive to me, and they're exploding on the inside of me. And I'm all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I got to get in. And so I got out of the car. My nose is still running. Everything's the same. My throat's still tight. My head still feels. You ever had water? You're going swimming, got water in your ear, and your head feels like it's got water in you. Whenever you do that, there's water in your ear. My church sometimes just comes to church for the sound effects. But anyway. But that's the way my head felt. And I'm walking in. I could take you to the square foot of pavement where I stepped off of the parking lot up onto the sidewalk. Remember that SDC2? Was it 2? I think they called that 2. Turned into RM, or that big long canopy was out across the sidewalk down there. I stepped up onto that, And I'm just rejoicing in the reality of the word that I was meditating on. And I heard these words. The Spirit of God rose up in my spirit and said, therefore, believe you receive. I heard those words. Came right up out of my spirit. And so I stepped up onto that sidewalk and took about three steps. And I said, Father, I see it. I am healed. I believe I receive it. It was like somebody took a plunger to my nose. It went like that. Everything went down. Disappeared. My head opened up. My ears opened up. My throat, the scratchiness left. Right there like that. Healed, standing right there on the sidewalk. You know you can get healed before you get to church. Hallelujah. 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 Why did it work so well? I was in the spirit. I'm going to leave that there for you to think about. Amen. What did Kenyon say? Your faith is working best when you're not even aware of it. You're just aware of the realities of God. Amen. Are we getting some help? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Remember Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All manner of prayers should be done in the Spirit. Now, I don't mean that you can't just walk by faith whenever, you know, the devil's hounding at you, saying it's not so. But you know what I'm talking about. Now, I want you to go to Psalm 73. This is another indication that a person is in the Spirit. Now, there it is. I lost track of time again. It's already time to end this session. but let's just catch this verse before we break for the next hour. Psalm 73. Here's a man that described something that happened to him. Asaph is his name. He talks about him there in verse number 3. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They don't have any bands in their death. And he's troubled. Verse number 5, there's no trouble. These men are... Basically, if you read down through here, he talks about how he's serving God and he's having so much trouble. And he's looking at all these wicked people. You know, they're not interested in God. They're cursing God and they don't have any trouble. And he's getting quite upset about it. You read this passage, he's getting quite upset about it. And it comes to verse number 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Then he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely they did set themselves in slippery places, or thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down unto destruction. How are they brought unto desolation in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, listen to this, as a dream when one waketh, so, O Lord, when thou wakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. In other words, I was convicted. So foolish was I, and ignorant was I, as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. And if you read down through here, you can see basically he comes to this. I was looking at how they don't have any trouble and everything until I got into he called it going into the presence of God. Down in verse number 17, the sanctuary actually is the way he said it. He went into the sanctuary. That's where the presence of God was. When he got into the presence of God, his whole perspective changed. He's like, whoa, they're going to be going like that. I mean, the devil can jerk the rug out from under them just like that. But I've got God to hold me up whatever I'm going through. And he started seeing things differently, and he said, well, I'm convicted. I'm convicted at the way I was thinking. And he said, I was foolish, if you read all these things that he said. And then go down to verse number 28. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Now look at the contrast between verse 13 and verse 28. Look at verse 13. Back before he got in the presence of God, he said, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. In other words, it hadn't done me any good to serve God. But look at verse 28. Boy, it's been good for me to draw near to God. What happened between verse 13 and verse 28? He got in the Spirit. Mark this down. Here's a characteristic of getting into the Spirit. Your perspective changes. Woo! Hallelujah. You're actually living, when you're in the Spirit, you're living from God's perspective. And that's the right one, by the way. Amen. You see things from God's viewpoint. You see things the way God sees them, which is reality. Reality. I'm interested in reality. People talk about reality TV. The most reality on TV is people that preach the word. That's reality TV. Reality. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God's perspective is reality. Amen. Before he got into God's presence, which is another way of saying in the Spirit, he was in deception. He was believing a lie. Whoa. Chapter 73 there, verse number 20, he said, as a dream. You got to wake up from this false reality. You got to wake up. People that are, I'm going to serve. I'm going to love to go to hell. Me and my buddies, we're going to have a drinking party down there. You're not in reality. Read the Bible. You will not have parties and gatherings. You will be in a cell by yourself, whooped and beat by demons.
Yes.
You hear me?
Yes.
No parties. Isolation is talked about in the Bible. As in hell. So they're not in reality. But there's a lot of people not in reality even in the church world. Amen. Well, we've got to quit. Amen. We'll see you in about 10 minutes. I took three of those.